Welcome to the Magic Potion Podcast, where a sprinkle and a dash can enhance your class. Listen to learn about tools, techniques, and stories from educators on ways to improve your lessons, create a positive culture, and much more. I'm your host, Kevin Reinemann, and now it's time to make it happen. Hello and welcome to episode 29, where I have my special guest that will help you get focused, Kelly Croy. Kelly, could you please let the audience know who you are and what your background in education is, please?
Sure. Kevin, thanks for having me on the show. My name's Kelly Croy. I'm the Director of Innovation Instruction at Portland City Schools. This is my 28th year in education. I've loved everyone. Hope to go 28 more. I spent 26 years in the English classroom, seventh grade English teacher, and at Oak Harbor, Ohio, and the last 2 years as the Director of Innovation and Instruction for Port Clinton. I've been involved speaking at conferences, leading professional development, consulting with schools, and even some educational companies. I'm an Apple Distinguished Educator. I'm a Google Certified Innovator. I love all things education, and I'm really excited about being on the Magic Potion EDU podcast. So thank you.
Yes, and I am so happy to have you on. Kelly is where I got most of my inspiration to do podcasting, and that's from the Wired Educator podcast, which if you haven't listened to it, it's usually every episode's about an hour long, 45 minutes to an hour, and Kelly gets some amazing interview folks to talk about the great things that they're doing. So fantastic professional development going on there. How many episodes are you up to now on there?
I've got about through 127 recorded, and I think through 123 are listed right now. So I have a few more in queue to drop. And the next one's going to be, I believe it's 124 or 125, 125 with John Carrippo.
Oh, awesome. Looking forward to that. I know I have a couple episodes I need to circle back and catch up on. I love it because I know how long it's going to be. I know it's going to be quality. And it gives me time to, multitask.
Yeah. Well, thanks for mentioning the podcast. It's a passion of mine. It's something that I kind of accidentally started. I had the Wired Educator blog, and I wrote a lot of blog posts about it and different tech use, my thoughts on education, things of that nature. And I still write blog posts. I interviewed a gentleman named Chris Tolley years ago. I think it was around 2016, and did a YouTube channel. I thought I was going to start a YouTube channel, and he was just so excited about career tech in education, and it was just a wonderful interview. But I didn't really do much after it, and he passed away unexpectedly just a year or two after that. And I was so happy that I had archived his interview, that passion, that energy. And so that's really where the idea to start a podcast started from, is that I wanted to collect, share, archive the best of education from all around the world. And now, like I said, I'm about at least 124 episodes in. I love it. They are about 45 minutes long, and it's just a conversation. It's about two people very passionate about education. They're positive. We don't go down the negative road of education. We look at the possibilities of what could be. We're solution focused. It's a lot of energy. I'm really excited about it. So I appreciate you mentioning that. And I hope your listeners will listen to my podcast too.
Absolutely. So while you're listening here, if you can shuffle through apps, go and subscribe to the Wired Educator podcast, or at least go bookmark wirededucator.com and check it out a little bit later. So as Kelly mentioned, he is the Director of Innovation and Instruction. And when I hear that title, I'm like almost drooling. Like, what is that? That sounds like an awesome job where you are just inspiring people all the time. What are the duties and responsibilities of that sort of position?
It is a great title. Thank you, Kevin. I love the position. I'm very excited about its possibilities. We're in the middle of my second year with it. It is about inspiring people. It's about giving educators permission to do things in the classroom that they've always wanted to do. And when I say permission, it's not really like a real permission, like, I have the authority to do that, but really, like you said, encouragement and inspiring them to do those things. I think some educators have great ideas and they want to go forward with them, but they're just not sure it hasn't been done before, or they're not sure who they should ask. And so I try to bring out the greatness in others. When our district is ready to start a new initiative in any area, whether it be instruction or curriculum or technology, I'm the guy who works with the principals and the educators to come up with a plan on how it will be implemented well. I try to think of the problems that we'll encounter and try to bypass those. I provide professional development for the district. I bring in speakers. There is really no negative about the job, but one thing you'll find is the best way to define it is what are the needs of the district? And that's what the Director of Innovation and Instruction is responsible for. And so that can be varying, right? And it can be day by day, it can be week by week, month by month, and year by year. And it can be a lot. We have four different buildings, primary, intermediate, middle school, and a high school, and then the district as a whole. And so it's hard to be in all those buildings, getting face-to-face time with teachers and things like that. But that's some of the responsibilities. I have a great colleague I work with, Lucas Kennedy. He's a part-time instructional tech coach and a full-time teacher here. And so we work together on various projects. I work with principals. There's a lot of leadership responsibilities, helping everyone become the best leader they can be. So as you can see, it's a lot of hats, but it's a lot of fun. It is a lot with technology, but you know, innovation isn't just technology. Innovation is doing things well, doing new things that get results. And so while that may involve some technology, sometimes it just, a lot of my, the solutions that we find are just from experience and also having the courage to try new things.
Oh, I love hearing that. And it sounds like the majority of your time is focused on what's in the future. Where are we going to go? Let's set the map to navigate to where we need to be.
Absolutely. You know, I have a unique perspective that I can see the district as a whole because I have the mobility to get around to all the buildings and work with each principal and work with all the teachers. And so you see things differently, you know, in the classroom, you know, you can have a very broad vision. You can make a tremendous impact. I don't think you're limited to by any means, but once you start seeing other places in the district, your mind expands to what that could mean as well. And you have to, when you're starting a new initiative, you have to kind of think of the individual identities of the buildings and classrooms and needs. And so it's different. We're doing a culture initiative right now, and really working on leadership skills and behavioral skills. And as you can imagine, that's very different in each building. And so I'm kind of a sounding board to some of our administrative leadership. I offer ideas. I look at things sometimes through the lens of an educator for the administrators. And sometimes I look at things as an administrator for when the teachers have questions. And so in some ways, I'm a moderator, you know. Those are some of the responsibilities.
Yeah, that was a tough adjustment for me. And I'm interested to hear what you think. When I moved out of the classroom and to being an administrator, that was kind of a, you know, I miss the kids. I don't necessarily miss the paperwork and the grading and the, mm-hmm. the maybe some not so happy parent emails and stuff like that. But the time with the kids, I miss that a lot some days.
Yeah.
So have you had a tough adjustment there going from teacher for 26 years?
Well, a lot of my friends were very concerned about that. They knew how much I enjoyed goofing around with kids and having fun with kids and things like that. And, you know, I will say there is a piece of that that, you know, you do miss a little bit. But each week I always build into my schedule time with students in different buildings. And we have an academy at our high school of various age students. And so tomorrow at around 9:15, I will spend, you know, half an hour with them talking and learning and working with them just on my own creation. I actually went over and asked them if I could spend some time with them. And so far, knock on wood, they enjoy that time. And I always end it with, can I come back next week? And they always say yes. So I look for opportunities. We started a podcast here at the middle school, and we started a podcast at the high school. And so, you know, I get some hands-on tech time with the students and kind of goof around for a little bit. But, I, you know, it's kind of neat because now I can be really selective about how I get to work with the kids. But yes, it is a lot less. And like you, I don't really miss some of the work. I do miss some of the projects, but I have some ideas on how to fill those gaps in too.
So you get to see a lot of creativity with the students and you get to help foster that. So that's good. I'm very glad to hear you get to have that involvement with the students. Those Port Clinton Redskins are really lucky to have you up there.
Well, thank you very much. I'm lucky to be here too.
So I know one of the other major things going on up at your school is the media center up and running now? I think last time I visited you, it was under construction.
Yes, it's beautiful. I like to think of it more like a college, a collegiate student union. It's a wonderful space that has a little cafe in there. It was very intentional with charging ports like you would have at an airport or a lobby, something like that. Lots of different workspaces of different heights and different designs. The bookcases are kind of built into the furniture rather than separate. Lots of big screens, lots of glass and open areas. It's just a really neat place. I go in there. I do an office hour, at least one office hour every week in the media center, and I pick a new learning area. There's even some college study rooms with the glass doors that you close.
Yeah.
I pick a new area every time, and then I always make sure, and I think every principal, every teacher, every whatever your role in education is, wherever you're working at, you should end that time talking to the students. And so if I work over there for an hour, I usually take about 10 minutes afterward and just kind of walk around and I ask the students what they think the district needs and what their concerns are and what their challenges and obstacles to learning are. And they will not answer you the first time. But but once they realize that you're serious, they do. And so now they see me coming. And they know to wait until I'm done. I just set up shop right in there. I try to do 1 hour of work in each of the buildings, just, you know, my own work besides the initiatives I'm working with, and then talk to the students. And they will share with you. They will tell you what they need. They tell you they have some great ideas. And we've acted on some.
That's laptops make a whole world of difference, don't they?
Yeah,
to be
it's
able
great.
To do that. Oh, yeah. I saw the glass rooms. Those looked awesome. I believe the cafe seating, you know, I'd love to see something like that happen in my own school. I keep seeing things like that pop up at other schools. It seems to be very popular. Are your students in there regularly? Is that just free time? How is that? When do they get to go in there? I guess is my question.
That's a great question. So it is adapting over time. When we first opened it, we had a big reveal like you'd see on a TV show. You know, we covered up the window and we pulled it all down. And it was funny to hear some of the kids' comments about their reaction. They were kind of blown away by it too, because you've seen it. It's not just nice. It's very nice.
Yes.
Then things got awkwardly quiet because the staff wasn't sure how to use it. The students weren't sure how to use it. And so over time, we weren't sure, should students be allowed to eat in there, bring their lunches in there and things like that. And so now it's really running pretty smooth. I think as it should be. Students can come in just about any time. They can ask if they're in study hall, they can ask to leave and go down in there. And they do. We have a wonderful person in charge of the area. Her name's Teresa Monaco. And, you know, she's part of a group now of digital media specialists, which our ESC has put together, where they share ideas. And so she'll bring questions to them. You know, they'll encounter things and she'll bring questions to this great group that Lonnie Rivera has put together. And they share ideas and so she gets feedback. And so whenever you're doing something like that, yes, always do it. But get as many voices as you can. We reached out to other schools and colleges who had similar spaces and, you know, talked to them and went and checked them out and kind of got ideas about things. And some of the feedback was, make sure you have plenty of charging ports And it's been great. It's wonderful to see the kids use it more and more. I think it's in a really good flow right now. But like any area, there's still some areas that we're investigating on how to use better. Right now, one of my areas of focus is as you walk in. I kind of think it should be like a Barnes & Noble with some sort of display in it that, you know, kind of attracts your attention to possibly a career or something like that. And we love the space. Thanks for asking that, Kevin.
Yeah, I'm going to have to stop back up again here sometime soon and check it out and see the finished product.
Absolutely. You're always welcome.
Well, it sounds like you're a little bit further along than we are, but we just launched a new makerspace in our elementary building. Spent the entire summer renovating. We did a whole bunch of committee work and seeing what students were interested in using and everything. And, you know, those first quarter, second quarter, it was the same thing. The teachers didn't seem to go to the room at all. A couple of them, you know, made it a point to go at least once a week. But now that we're hitting towards the end of the third quarter, we're starting to see a lot more as the teachers are getting comfortable. The students are saying, hey, when can we get in there? There's excitement building for this whole STEM, STEAM, STREAM, whatever you want to call it, project-based learning activities in the makerspace. So fun times in education.
Yeah, that is a challenging space. And we've been a little slower on that than we have with others. So we've started a makerspace area in our media center at Baton Elementary Intermediate. And it's been a lot slower. It's an area that you really need to kind of get everybody else to working with. And it is a slower process. I recommend the books by Laura Fleming on makerspace to anybody that's working on that. But yeah, I'd love to hear some of your ideas because that's an area that we really need to improve on. But we're glad we have the space and it's being used more, but we have a lot of work to do in that area.
Yeah, it's, you know, I'm a person that likes to see instant results. Anytime I'm working on something, I want to just see it happen. Patience is not always the best for me.
Sure.
So that has been tough after putting in all that effort to get the room up and running over the summer, but I'm glad I didn't get angry or grumpy or anything like that waiting for it to happen. So it's going to be interesting to watch it grow over the next couple years.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'll have to reconnect with you and share some ideas and get some of yours.
Yeah, absolutely. So another one of the things that when I hear the name Kelly Croy that I immediately think of is Apple Distinguished Educator. You're very involved in that program and you have been an AD for quite a few years now, right?
Yeah, I became an Apple Distinguished Educator in 2011. I'm very proud of it. I'm involved in several educational groups, but there's nothing that compares to the Apple Distinguished Educator Program. We call ourselves ADEs. It's an amazing group. I learn from my peers and colleagues in the ADE program every time we're together. It's sort of like Navy SEALs that we get to go on some secret missions sometimes and do some really cool things that, and we can't tell anybody about them. It's kind of cool.
Ooh,
so we don't see anything that, you know, top secret stuff. It's nothing like that. But it is about providing training for teachers and coming up, I think, with solutions on how to create with devices. And, you know, a lot of people think the ADE program is just about Apple technologies. And while that is a big piece of it, I would say most of our discussions are about pedagogy, about instruction, about good teaching. And I really want to emphasize that part. Yes, you do need to know your tech, but it's probably better to be a really solution-open-minded person. ADEs are not people who know the answers to everything. They're more like astronauts in that they're willing to experiment with anything and find multiple solutions. So if you were to ask an ADE, you know, a question about something, they would probably fire back with like 12 different ways to do it and why one might be better than the other in certain circumstances, if that makes sense. But yeah, it is probably of all the things that I've done, one of the most proud moments of my life to be an ADE. And now I'm on the advisory board for the Americas. That's North and South America for all the Apple Distinguished Educator Program. And I'm very proud of that. And it's a great program. Thank you for asking about it.
Yeah, congratulations for making it on there and for getting the moving on up in the advisory board. That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's like I said, just a tremendous honor. And we got to be, I was selected to be part of Apple's big educational event last March, which was a live event, and got to demo a few of the new features on their newest iPad to the press. And it's quite an honor. So people can learn more about the Apple Distinguished Educator Program just by doing a simple search, and it'll take you to an Apple page. And we just went through an application process. I believe it's closed now, but it goes every 2 years. I recommend that everybody apply. And even if you don't get accepted, you learn each time you apply. And it is difficult to become a member of the ADE program. But, you know, that's a good thing. That's a really good thing. And you just keep trying. Don't get frustrated. A lot of people don't know that once you become an ADE, you're not automatically selected to attend the next institute. You have to reapply each and every year.
Oh.
I've known several Apple Distinguished Educators, including myself. I did not make it to the 2015 institute. What did that encourage me to do? Work even harder. And so I went to 11, 12, 13, 14, didn't make 15. So, you know, maybe I was getting comfortable with the things I was doing. So I stepped it up and I've been to every institute since, including their world institutes in Berlin and Ireland and elsewhere. So it's a great program, but you're always on your toes. You're always working hard. You would be surprised even just within a given week, all the different things an ADE does. It's not just a title you receive and something you hang on the wall. You're constantly adding to the work of education. It's an honor.
And what I love is, you know, I know a handful of ADEs. I've talked to a few of them. I had Leah LaCrosse on the show a few episodes ago, and you're not sales reps. I mean, yeah, you'll talk about the great things that Apple does. I love Apple too, but you're not pushing their products. Like you said, you're talking about effective pedagogy and thinking outside the box more than anything. When I hear Leah LaCrosse, I'm thinking about all the different things she does in science, and she smashes every single sort of brand name technology together that she can between Spheros and Dremels and Apple and sketchnoting and all that type of stuff. And then you have John Smith doing amazing things with Book Creator, as well as being an Apple Distinguished Educator. So that's a awesome program that I love seeing the people that they turn out.
Yeah. Typically an ADE is strong in many, many, many areas. But like you mentioned, has a few, you know, really even higher areas. But the you know, common characteristic, they just want to learn. They want to learn more. And that's really why you're in the program. Just this tremendous curiosity to learn more. And it's great. It's a great program. Thank you.
So another one of the things, you are outside of school, you're also a person with many hats. It seems like you're always up to something and always up to multiple things at once. So I don't know the year on it, but you have a published book, Along Came a Leader, where you talk about leadership skills. And I know that's available to purchase, so I'll throw that in the show notes here after we're done. Could you tell us a little bit about Along Came a Leader?
Yeah, I'd love to. Thank you for mentioning it. It is a project that I'm so proud of. It's some of my best work. It's a book that I wrote for students, for parents, for teachers, for administrators, for anybody who wants to level up the leadership in their life. And so I believe that to be a good leader, it first has to be personal. You have to lead yourself well. You have to lead within your area of your family. And then you can start to have influence outside of that. Otherwise, you're not an authentic leader. And you can have a lot of problems. And so in the book, I focus on 6 tenets of leadership that I think are just tremendously important in our lives. The first being our attitude. All leadership starts with a great attitude. And so I kind of walk everybody through what I believe the characteristics of great leadership are and give them ways to improve upon it. The book is filled with inspirational quotes on leadership, examples from my life where I learned these leadership lessons. And that's kind of where the book came along. As an educator, I often heard from coaches and teachers that they wanted more leaders in their classroom or on their sports teams. And the parents would always say that it was the school's responsibility. And the schools, of course, would point the fingers back to the families. And churches, they want leaders in the pews. And I could go on. And communities need leaders as well. But I really thought no one's doing anything about it. And so I led a few leadership camps over the summer that I was proud that local sports teams brought their entire teams to. And I said, you know what? I'm going to capture these ideas. I was really surprised that more people weren't teaching these leadership values. You know, Kevin, you and I are both Eagle Scouts. And we constantly had mentors and people working with us to become better leaders. I found most of my students and most of my colleagues did not have anybody working with them on leadership. And so that was the purpose of the book. I believe it was published in 2015. I'm really proud of it. It's still a great book. I just, every year a school or two chooses my book as their book of the year. And I'm next month, well, actually just within a week, I'll be doing a Skype conference with a school out in Texas that the entire district read my book. And, you know, that's just kind of weird, but kind of cool too. So I'm proud to have given something back.
Yeah, that's, as you're sitting there talking about all the leadership, I just started thinking of trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent.
Absolutely. Yeah. Scouting was a huge influence on me. And I think the thing about scouting, it really challenged me to want to keep working to improve myself, to get better. And that's a big part of it. Another tenet in the book that I focus on is tenacity. And I think scouting really helped me with that. I was never satisfied just where I was. I wanted to learn more. And I think that's a great quality in leader.
And I mean, how often nowadays are we seeing motivation moving into the classroom with the whole badging concept that scouting has been doing for years with merit badges, where you have this little piece of cloth that demonstrates a skill set that you have demonstrated being able to do. Now we're seeing it come into the classrooms of, hey, yeah, now you know how to use Pythagorean theorem. I'll just throw that out there. But badging is a fantastic motivational tool for students to be able to show what they know basically at a glance.
Yes. Quite simply, it works.
Yeah. So you are also working on another major project with another book right now that I'm really looking forward to myself, especially since I have a young child at home.
That's great. Can I share a little bit about it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I'm really proud of this book. I really want to be a writer and I really want to speak more. Those are two goals in my life. And so even at a young age, I just always imagined myself being a writer. I've always been a cartoonist. I do live art performances on stage. It's something I really enjoy. But in my back of my head, ever since I was a little tiny kid holding a crayon, I wanted to create my own comic strips and books, and just kind of toyed with the idea. About 2 years ago, I came up with a title. I wanted to help people. And so I know a lot of families have kids who struggle at when it's time to go to bed with anxiety and worry about their next day. And so I wrote a book, a very short book that's illustrated about how to get ready for your next day. It's called Unthink Before Bed. And it's dealing with anxiety through mindfulness. And so I teach students in the book how to get mindful, how to get prepared, and not worry about the upcoming day. And it helps them get to sleep. It's a lot of fun. My dog Jedi is also in the book as a cartoon. The book is written. It has like a Dr. Seuss rhyme to it. And I'm just cleaning up the artwork right now and making sure everything is up to par. I'm really excited about it. You know, I'm not trying to, you know, to make a fortune with the book. I'm really trying to help people and have fun while I'm doing it. But right now I'm just making sure the art is to my satisfaction. I've created the entire book on an iPad, written on an iPad. All the illustrations are on an iPad that was on purpose with an Apple Pencil. I just wanted to do that. And so I'm excited. My only problem is I keep adding to it. I started a group. I believe you're a member in it. People are giving me feedback about the book and I'm adding new features to it. And so, now it's going to have a free audio, part with it. The last page is going to have a QR code, with my dog Jedi that'll lead you to a hidden page on my website, which will be me reading the book. And so it's just fun things like that, Kevin. I'm really excited to get this book in the hands of families and help everybody unthink.
That's awesome. Whenever I think or I hear the name Kelly Croy, the first things that come to my mind are helpful and caring. That seems to be what you do, Kelly. You demonstrate that you care about other people in everything you do, and you're always willing to lend a helping hand. So thank you for being a great person.
Well, thank you. You know, Kevin, I feel the same about you. You're one of the kindest people I've met. And, you know, we all can't have great minds. We all can't have great bodies. We all can't have super skills at everything. But, you know, I think just with the tiniest bit of effort, we can all be kind, right? We can all really be kind. And at the end of the day, no matter what your job is, whether you're a teacher, an administrator, whether you're an attorney, a police officer, whatever your job is, if you did it with kindness that day, you did it well. And I think that's just really something important. So I can make a lot of excuses why I didn't get my workout in. I can make a lot of excuses about a lot of things, but you can never make an excuse for not being kind to someone else.
Okay, I'm going to have to go back and pause and rewind and write that one down. That was a quote for the centuries there.
Well, think about it. You meet a student. What do you want? Do you want that student to come back in 10 years and tell you, you know, how they learned to add or something like that? Or do you want them to remember you as a kind teacher? I think we all know the answer to that. And they will learn in your classroom, but they'll remember you for two things: your kindness and maybe, you know, the cool project you did or something like that. But they'll remember mm-hmm. your kindness first.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's got to be the easiest way to build rapport with students, is just demonstrating that you care about them.
Yeah, and you get to their mind through their heart, right? And it's not an act. Yeah. It's not a game. It's genuine. And I'll tell you, when you're kind to students, they're kind back. And when they're kind back and you're kind to them, what's that do? That creates a pretty cool classroom. And it makes mm-hmm. makes learning and teaching easier, makes the school a better place. Period.
That sure is like a culture that we could use everywhere, whether it's locally, regionally, statewide, national, worldwide. We can all be more kind.
Absolutely.
So I won't be mindful of your time here. The last little piece I wanted to bring up and talk about was, you don't just have one podcast, you have two podcasts. So as we were talking about earlier with your position, Director of Innovation and Instruction, you're always looking forward. You also have the Future Focused podcast, as well as a Facebook group that I'm lucky enough to be a member in that. Oh my gosh. Thank you. Yeah. This is awesome.
Thank you. You know, Future Focused podcast is my second podcast, and it's just coming out of the experiment stages. It's just me. It's just my voice, which, let me tell you, is the hardest podcast to record when you're the only one talking, because you never want to sound like you're a know-it-all or you're the guru, you know, espousing all this wisdom. But I kind of noticed, so I have two websites. One's kellycroy.com and one's wirededucator.com. And of course, the Wired Educator podcast lives on that, along with my posts about education. And then I have the second site, Kelly Croy, where, you know, I speak to audiences on leadership and bullying and many other things. And I really don't recommend having two. I did it for my own particular reasons. I kept Kelly Croy separated from my Wired Educator work. I kind of wish it was all together. But I noticed some people just don't read blogs anymore, and they want to consume things through podcast. And so I do like to talk. So I created the second podcast where I've kind of jot down my notes about a particular leadership topic or a topic about how to live your life more dynamic. And I record it, and the feedback was fast. People really liked it. I was really inspired to keep going. And so I think I'm only like 22 episodes in or something like that. I need to get one out this week, but I do enjoy it. They're much shorter. They're like 15 minutes long. And that's what I talk about, how to level up your leadership, how to live a dynamic life. And like I said, the feedback's been great. So thanks for asking about that.
Yeah, yeah. And let's say somebody wants to bring you in as a speaker, or if they want to reach out to you and touch base, what's the best way for them to get a hold of you?
Yeah, I would say, you know, jump over to kellycroy.com or send me an email at kelly@kellycroy.com. I've been speaking for a very long time, but it's always been, you know, extra, like on the weekends and in the summers and things like that. I speak to organizations. I speak to a lot of schools. I've been fortunate to keynote educational conferences. I've been fortunate to, speak at opening days at schools. It's really one of my favorite presentations to give. A lot of my presentations include a 6-foot by 8-foot artwork. It's a canvas that's 6-foot by 8-foot wide. It's choreographed to music. It's animated by a computer. It's unlike anything you've ever seen before. I love doing it. Like I said, I do opening days for teachers. It's one of my favorite audiences because I want to get teachers excited and fired up about the school year. And I want to give them some really great strategies about creating that rapport with students that you talked about, how to really connect with students, and how to make the school year their best school year ever. And I deliver. I'm always looking for more ways to speak and connect with people because I just love it. It's being on stage is just one of my favorite moments of my life. I believe in three things. You know, it helps me become a better leader. I believe truly that it helps other people, and it's just entertaining. It's just fun. So I hope you'll check it out. You can see some demo videos there, and I hope you'll consider having me as your opening day speaker at your school, wherever you're listening from. Or coming in and doing a session on leadership with your admin team or anybody you'd like. So I look forward to connecting with your listeners. Thanks, Kevin.
Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on the show today, Kelly. Is there anything else you'd like to mention or anything we kind of skipped over there?
No, I feel bad. I think this might be one of your longest podcasts. I apologize, but
you're good.
I love having conversations with you, Kevin, and I'm so proud of you for starting this Magic Potion EDU. We need more educators like yourself to share the stories of other educators. We need to promote each other. Education does not need people to knock it down. Too many people are doing that already. We need to lift each other up. We need to celebrate and promote the greatness in each other's classrooms. And I thank you for doing this. And I really thank you for having me on the show. And I hope people will check out Along Came a Leader. I hope they'll follow along on kellycroy.com. And check out my new book, Unthink Before Bed. And thank you, Kevin, for having me on.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much for the kind words. And audience members, as always, remember to get out there and make it happen. Thank you for listening to the Magic Potion Podcast. This podcast was created using Anchor FM. Please subscribe and leave comments with your thoughts and ideas from the classroom. Until next time, get out there and make it happen.